I want to invite Casey up. She's going to share a word with us this morning. It feels like we haven't heard from her in forever. Has it been? When was the last time? Was it? Okay. All right. We just want to hear more. So why don't you guys just stretch out your hands to Casey. Say, Father, bless her. Bless her, Lord Jesus. Put your hand on your heart. Say, heart, receive what the Lord is about to speak through Casey, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen.
Wow. Well, I love how, you know, already the pictures over there and the words and the worship were exactly fitting to what I wanted to share. So it's pretty amazing how God does that. I'm going to be sharing a lot in 2 Corinthians. I started reading that recently, and I'm pretty much stuck in the first three chapters, and I just keep reading them over and over again because they're so good. So the first thing I just want to read to start out is, this is chapter 1, verse 8, I believe. No, 7. No, 8. All right. Brothers and sisters, you need to know about the severe trials we experienced while we were in Western Turkey. All of the hardships we passed through crushed us beyond our ability to endure. And we were so completely overwhelmed that we were about to give up entirely. It felt like we had a death sentence written upon our hearts, and we still feel it to this day. And here's the key. It has taught us to lose all faith in ourselves and to place all of our trust in the God who raises the dead. There you go. That's what's happening right now, guys. That, right, have a good day. That's all you need. Bam. I know, I've been literally in that verse just reading it over and over again right now because it's perfect. And we really just need encouragement right now. We need comfort and we need encouragement. And I really just want to... That's what I want to do this morning. So 6 years ago, I shared a message. I can't believe it was 6 years ago, but this was at Marky Market. Some of you were there at this time when we met downtown at the Marky Market. And it was a message about the wheat and the tares. And I've been thinking about this lately. And it was during, you know, Obama was still president, and there was a lot of stuff going on that was kind of shocking to us as believers, and we were, you know, witnessing people getting beheaded and things like that. The ISIS stuff was growing, and there was all kinds of biblical principles that we were being watching from a distance. We were like, whoa, is this really happening? I remember how bad it was then, you know, and this message was on my heart then. And now, you know, look where we are now. It's amazing. And I remember thinking about how at that time, thinking about America and how America had lost her identity. And there was this battle that was ahead of her. To remember who she is and what her purpose was. And that was what my whole message was about. That was 6 years ago. And so here we are, you know, in this battle, and we're still, it's heavier now, obviously. But it's the picture of America is the same battle that we face as believers. And it's that external picture, big picture of the internal battle that we all have inside of us. And the battle to know, which Braden sang a song about, you know, knowing who we are and whose we are, right? That's the battle, is to really, really know who we are, not just in our minds, but in our hearts. So back when I saw that picture of the wheat and the tares, I was thinking about how we can you know, imagine the wheat, like when it bows is when it's ready. The wheat, when the wheat and the tares grow up together, they look the same, and then the wheat will, the head will go down, and then they'll know, the reaper knows it's ready, right? And so, as hard as everything looks right now, I've been thinking about that and how actually we need to rejoice. We need to rejoice because the clearer the difference is between the wheat and the tare, the easier they are to separate. We can see that. We're seeing that. We're starting to see, whoa, this separation. And it feels really shaky and uncomfortable and somewhat traumatic. But it's actually God exposing the enemy within in order to separate him out and rip up the tares that are there. That they were there all along. They were there all along. You know, this is good news. It's good news. It's hard, but it's good news. And we need to take heart. We're further than we think. So, and the wheat, you know, in order for it to be revealed, it has to come into its fullness. You know, that's when it's strong enough. It's strong enough to hold its ground. So when the tares get pulled up, it doesn't go up with it. You know, it's stronger. So there's a fullness that comes. There's a fullness of evil and a fullness of good side by side, right? So is the enemy being exposed because the enemy is getting more destructive, more evil, or is the enemy being exposed because the church, his bride, is becoming full and coming into her fullness? Is she strong enough now? Is she strong enough to handle it? Is she strong enough to go into the fire and not get burned? Maybe he's getting louder because she has gotten louder as we move from glory to glory, you know? And it's like in every generation there's been a level that we go a little bit higher, and there's probably, you know, different things in past times and persecutions that bring her higher, but it's like, I think there's a new level that we're seeing that's really exciting. So, I don't know, but what I do know is God is after his ready bride, and I want us to be encouraged that we're further than we think, and remind us of who we are and whose we are. So a couple weeks ago, I was praying about all the heaviness in the world and the battle that we're in, and I asked the Lord, well, I was having kind of a picture of being with the Lord and in my mind's eye of kind of dancing with him, and I'm in my wedding dress, and you know, I have these, I'm a seer, I like to see in my mind, so whenever I pray, I'm always visualizing, okay? That's my personality. Some of you are like that too, but that's how I see, and that's a lot of how I hear God, is through pictures and in my mind. So I'm dancing with the Lord in my mind, and I asked him a funny question, probably because I was in a dress. And I was thinking about the battle, you know, that has to be fought. I was thinking about the battle, and I was like, how should I dress, Lord? And I kind of laughed at myself for even having that thought. But as soon as I had that thought, I saw how I looked in the battle. And it was totally different than I expected. So I had this picture so imagine the dress, and it was still on, but it was transformed a bit. And, you know, imagine the long skirt, but the skirt is wrapped around the legs, kind of like genie pants, you know? She's got to wrap her dress around her legs so that she could get on the horse, because I always imagine a horse. I don't know about you, but I imagine, you know, when I'm doing stuff for the Lord, getting on a horse, that's like, come on, power, you know, and the Spirit under me, you know, like, the Spirit's moving, and I'm just riding the Spirit. So that's how I imagine it. Not by my power, but by the Lord's power. So, and then the shoes are just really special sandals. And what's crazy is on Thursday, when we were praying at the ladies' meeting, Milagro had a picture of the sandals I was wearing. And she came and showed me this picture, and it was exactly what I had seen in the picture I had a couple weeks ago. And I was like, those are the sandals. That's it. And they were kind of like, you know, Roman sandals, and but she said they have like little spikes on the bottom to like get your footing, to be sure footed, you know? So that is really cool. So the top of the dress was, you know, like you imagine a dress. It's just really flowy, but then I was wearing the belt of truth. So the belt is wrapped around the dress now, girding myself with truth. And here's the part where it was like kind of surprising, because I'm thinking about going into a battle. And the dress was one of the dresses that kind of, you know, goes across, and it was shoulderless, with the sleeves on the bottom, you know, like wrapped around your arms. So like two, it almost looks like the sleeves are separate from the dress. Does that help? But her shoulders are bare. And I was thinking, wow, that doesn't look like a battle outfit, you know? That doesn't look like something you should wear going out to fight the enemy, you know? It's kind of interesting. So as I thought about that and I was talking to the Lord, I asked him, okay, why are the shoulders bare? And he said, because that's my favorite part. And I thought about it for a while, and I understood. The shoulders are bare because she has no burdens. She's not carrying anything. And she's vulnerable. And she's free. And she can win the battle with her trust. She's not afraid. She doesn't need the armor. Her vulnerability is her strength. She's not, you know, protecting herself in something. She's not having to wear a bunch of protective gear because she knows she's protected. And all her trust is in her king. And, you know, it's also a picture of intimacy with her groom. I don't need to go into why, right? I actually shared this with Stacy and one of my other boys, and they both had the same male reaction when I'm like, is that your favorite part? And they're both like, yeah, it was like, I described this to, I won't say his name, who it was, but one of my boys, and he's like, that's what my bride's gonna look just like. He was so excited. You know what it is. Okay, you can just keep that to yourself. You all know. Okay. All right. The point is that she never needs protection again, because she is a picture of victory. She's a picture of freedom. And the only thing that she did have that was protective was a helmet, was protecting her mind. And so she had a helmet on. It was kind of a tight-fitting helmet. It had like a big plume, a big feather coming out, and it was a big red feather. And I also saw a bunch of, you know, the other ladies, like, in different color plumes for representing different, you know, facets of the Lord, which we've been talking a lot about. So, and it wasn't covering her ears, because she needs to hear what her Lord is saying. So, anyway, so the mind is protected, because that's what the enemy's after. And she's wearing the mind of Christ. And yeah, anyway, it was such a beautiful picture. It was such a beautiful picture. And the entire picture was just, she is beautiful. You know, she is this beautiful, attractive picture of freedom in Jesus. It would take, like, if she came up on a horse, you know, you just imagine it would take people's breath away. You're like, wow, here she comes, you know, and this is what I was seeing. And it's a picture of, you know, her going into battle is not about a fight. It's not about a sword fight. It's about demonstrating victory in Christ. And the battle is won with that demonstration of love and with freedom. And it's the picture of a full partnership with Jesus and all that he is. And wearing him as victory. She's clothed in Christ, and she attracts people to him because of freedom. And I know you guys have to kind of get your own picture of what that would look like. It's probably totally different, but anyway. Shave your hairy shoulders. Yeah. You can work on that. All right. So Psalm 3:3 says, "But in the depths of my heart, I truly know that you, Yahweh, have become my shield. You take me and surround me with yourself. Your glory covers me continually." In 2 Corinthians 2:14, God always makes his grace visible in Christ, who includes us as partners of his endless triumph. Through our yielded lives, he spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere we go. We have become the unmistakable aroma of the victory of the Anointed One to God, a perfume of life to those being saved and the odor of death to those who are perishing. The unbelievers smell a deadly stench that leads to death, but believers smell the life-giving aroma that leads to abundant life. And who of us can rise to this challenge? For unlike so many, we are not peddlers of God's word who water down the message. We are those sent from God with pure motives who speak in the sight of God from our union with Christ. Amen. Our yielded lives become the aroma of victory. That's what we're doing. We are an aroma of victory, and we partner with him to bring freedom everywhere we go. And you know, when I think about America and I think about the founders, they wrote these famous words that I just don't think they fully understood when they wrote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." If they believed everything they said, right, it would look like that, right? It didn't look like that, but they wrote it because it was a declaration of who they were called to be, who they were to be, not necessarily who they were yet. And this is why America is so important, because she is a picture of freedom to people everywhere, to people all over the world. And it's freedom is the foundation, you know? It's not who she is fully yet, but it's who she is called to be. And it's the same for us. We might not fully be walking in that freedom yet, but the battle has already won. It's already won. It's already been fought. It's already been won. So just like America's founding principles were freedom, also the Bible, it's kind of like, you know, it's not the same picture, but it's a similar picture. It's the Bible is a blueprint of our victory, you know? And it's like a mirror that we look in. It's a mirror that we are to become, right? It's not who we are yet, but when we read it, we go, oh, that's who I'm supposed to be. That's who I am. So God doesn't wrap us in a bunch of armor or battle gear. Our armor is him. Our shield is faith. Our breastplate is righteousness. And we don't have to strive for that anymore. We don't have to try and become something that we're not, because he won that battle for righteousness on the cross. We don't have to try to get free from the enemy. We have to believe we are already free. So the way to our freedom is not thinking about all the things we have done wrong yesterday and trying to do better today. The way to our freedom is meditating on how free we are continually. And pretty soon you start believing it. I know, because this is what I did for a few years. I literally meditated on my freedom. And it completely changed my mind. And it stopped all of the tormenting thoughts of, you know, defeat and I'm guilty and I've done something wrong again and I need to be fixed and I'm broken and, you know, I was doing all of that. And so the Lord showed me to meditate on my freedom and meditate on the fact that I can't get out of his love. I'm literally standing in it at all times. I can't actually get out of it. No matter where I walk, he's like love. I'm standing in love. I can't get out. You cannot get out. You've already been declared loved. You've already been declared free. That's who you are. And the way to your freedom is meditating on it. And soon your life will demonstrate it. As you believe it, your life starts to mimic what you believe. As a man thinks, so he is, right? So as you think, you become. So if you're still not yet there, okay, well, what are those things that you're believing that the enemy is telling you that are not true? What are you still believing? What are you still walking in? You know, that don't line up to what the mirror is telling you. So Hebrews 10, 21 and 22 says, and since we now have a magnificent high priest to welcome us into God's house, we come closer to God and approach him with an open heart, fully convinced that nothing will keep us at a distance from him. For our hearts have been sprinkled with blood to remove impurity, and we have been freed from an accusing conscience. Now we are clean, unstained, and presentable to God inside and out. That already happened. That already happened, guys. When you gave your life to him, that's who you became. Your heart just doesn't know it yet. If you're still struggling, your heart doesn't know it yet. But that's what we need to get free from, that accusing conscience. And the power is when we know the truth. The power is when we know. When you know who you are and whose you are, that's when freedom becomes you, right? It's when we're sure. When we are sure of ourselves, we're sure of our freedom. Hebrews 6:18. So it is impossible for God to lie, for we know that his promise and his vow will never change. And now we have run into his heart to hide ourselves in his faithfulness. This is where we find his strength and comfort, for he empowers us to seize what has already been established ahead of time. An unshakable hope. Let me say that again. For he empowers us to seize what has already been established ahead of time. An unshakable hope. He will empower us. He will empower us to take it, to seize what has already been established. And it's the same picture with this battle in America. You know, we are learning and we're growing and, you know, understanding more and more how we have to stand up and take what was already declared ours, you know? It's the same thing. You can just replace America with freedom. You know, when you think of America, I think of freedom. When you look at the flag, you think of freedom. And when I think of justice, I think of complete, full deliverance, right? And that's the promise for us. He delivered us. We just need to walk in it, you know? And when we know it, we do walk in it. So he's going to completely deliver us and deliver America too, in Jesus' name. And she hasn't fully walked freely yet, you know? Just as the church has not fully walked freely yet. The church hasn't been able to. But it's sort of like we're watching this kind of go hand in hand. And the revelation of her lack of freedom is revealing to us the church's lack of freedom even more than we want to admit, you know? And it's interesting when you go into the world and you just see all the fear now. And it's like we're seeing the kingdom of darkness become real around us. Even though it was already there, right? It was already in our midst all the time. But now it's obvious. It's in our face. And it's out loud, very out loud. So it's like the picture. We're seeing the picture of what was already true. For me, it's just causing me to want to go into the world and tell them about their freedom, right? And declare it more and remove their, you know, the mask just representing, you know, their whose they are, right? Whose they are. I know, the masks representing whose they are. It's just the picture, right? It's just the picture of the darkness and what the enemy is doing. But he's saying right now, he's saying to us as the church, I know, you know, we don't maybe feel like it, but he's saying, you are strong enough. You are ready. You are a full-grown piece of wheat. You are full. I have taught you. I have raised you. I have... You are who I've made you to be already. And it wants the church to know it and not to hide and cower anymore and to speak it out loud as Gabrielle keeps telling us, speak it out. Payday, speak it out. We need to go and just be that demonstration of freedom. And it's really hard when you have to wear the masks and you can't smile because you just want to smile at everybody, you know. But God's going to give us strategies on how to do this, because I feel like there's some going out coming our way. What? Draw a smile on our mask. Okay, we can do that. Yeah. So I'm going to read. So last week, it was really funny because it was my birthday on Sunday. And I had 3 people, different times, come up to me and say, what, are you 29? And it was funny the first time, but then it was like, why do they keep saying 29? I don't know. Is that what everybody always says? Or was it a prophetic thing for me? So I looked up, you know, all the 29s in the Bible, and I'm going to read Psalm 29. Isaiah 29 is also really good for this time. So I recommend reading Isaiah 29, but I'm going to read Psalm 29 to finish up here. Proclaim his majesty, all you mighty champions, you sons of Almighty God, giving all the glory and strength back to him. Be in awe before His majesty. Be in awe before such power and might. Come worship wonderful Yahweh, arrayed in all His splendor, bowing in worship as He appears in the beauty of holiness. Give Him the honor due His name. Worship Him wearing the glory garments of your holy priestly calling. The voice of the Lord echoes through the skies and seas. The glory God reigns as He thunders in the clouds. So powerful is His voice, so brilliant and bright. How majestic as He thunders over the great waters. His tympanic thunder topples the strongest of trees. His symphonic sound splinters the mighty forests. Now He moves Zion's mountains by the might of His voice, shaking the snowy peaks with His ear-splitting sound. The lightning fire flashes, striking as He speaks. God reveals Himself when He makes the fault lines quake, shaking deserts, speaking His voice. God's mighty voice makes the deer to give birth. His thunderbolt voice lays the forest bare. In His temple, all fall down before Him with each one shouting, "Glory, glory, the God of glory." Above the furious flood, the enthroned one reigns. The King God rules with eternity at His side. This is the one who gives His strength and might to His people. This is the Lord giving us His kiss of peace on the shoulders. Isn't that sweet? So good. So good. So, so, so good. Thank you. I'll be 29 forever. And I'm wondering if the worship team can come up here. And Robin, if you could just sing that song one more time. Because here's the thing. We need to celebrate each other's victories. And Robin's been practicing that. So that was the first time she led a song. You know, she's been singing up there for a while, but that was the first time she led a song. And it was awesome. And it was such a picture of us, what's in us coming out. You know, the reality of what we've been given, who we are, when it comes out in song, in art, in whatever way, in just a message, it needs to come out. God is it wants you guys to let it out. Who you are is good, good, good. He's made you good. He has made you. You're already perfect in Him, right? And as we sing this song, if you can, I just want you to picture, you know, if you can do this, just picture the Lord, picture your dress, picture what it looks like. I don't know, just sit with Him and ask Him, you know, to show you something, show you who you are, or maybe imagine the dress for those ladies, maybe you imagine that picture and you just see what God wants to say to you. For the guys, I feel like He wants to say something. So let's just sing this together and hear what He's going to say.
guys keep playing. This is what I want to, I just feel like the Lord's leading us to do this. The Lord wants to mark us with beauty. Because the reality is, when we were at our absolute worst, the Lord looked at us and saw such beauty within us. Including the men, this is not just a physical attraction. He's talking about our whole being, our heart, our whole personality. He looks at us and he thinks we are beautiful for the women and for the men. And he wants us to receive those words deep into our heart as truth. So we're going to just say a blessing over each other. We're just going to grab, you know, two people. Don't do it yet. Listen for instructions. And we're going to take turns just speaking beauty. Look into that person's eyes and say, you are beautiful. And then if you want to pray for them or bless them or whatever, or if that's all you want to do, take turns doing that. So I want people that are not related to each other, okay? Because sometimes it's hard to receive from someone you're related to. So you're not allowed to be with anybody that you're married to or dating or related to, okay? And so we don't make this super weird for the people that feel too uncomfortable with this. This is what we're going to do. If you are willing to do this, I just want you to raise your hand and then look around the room for somebody you're not related to and then just go grab somebody, okay? It can be same sex, opposite sex, whatever. Raise your hand high and keep it up until you have a partner. If you're willing to do this, raise your hand high.
Yeah. Hey, just keep finding that person. But it's really cool what you just said, because I felt this in the first time y'all sung this song. I felt Jesus was saying, look into my eyes today. I feel like so many times there's shame and guilt that keeps our head bowed down, that we're ashamed to look at Jesus in his eyes. And it's funny that you said to look in that person's eyes, because what I've been hearing, and I even told Scott this earlier, is all the songs that we've been singing to Jesus, he's singing it right back over us. And so as we look into each other's eyes, and what the person says to you, let that be from Jesus. The value he sees, and he's saying, if you dare to look into my eyes today, what I actually kept on hearing is, it's your time, it's your turn, come and get your freedom, come and receive my love. So as the person's speaking over you, as they've looked into your eyes, let that be from Jesus himself, and let the healing wave of Jesus just wash over you today.
Amen. Amen. Do it. Lock eyes. If you don't have a partner yet, and you want to participate, raise your hand high. Raise your hand high. Everyone's good? Okay. Okay.